I missed that 4 o'clock hour of Wednesday, June 9th. I'm going to go check it out, especially because we have a fun interview coming up.
We do. We do. We are excited. You know, My Talk has been celebrating local businesses basically since the beginning of the COVID shutdown. So, mm-hmm. so many businesses were suffering. We wanted to make sure that they get highlighted in all of the great things that they're doing in this community. Paint stores were essential businesses.
Yes.
And we are talking with Wendy Dornick with Hirschfields. And Wendy, thanks for being on our show today. Hello, Wendy.
I've been looking forward to chatting with you.
Good. Okay, Hi. So, you know, we were just reading more about Hirschfields, and we didn't know it was a fourth-generation family-owned business in the for over 100 years in the Twin Cities area.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yes.
And we make our own paint here in Minnesota, too. Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right off of Lindale. Just north of Downing, you can actually see the building from the
Oh,
freeway.
Yes, of course.
You know, yes,
I know.
I always, right, we always knew like Valspar paints, but right. the Hirschfield paints. I mean, I'm a customer. I've been, you know, gone to your store, the one in Woodbury. The women there that I've worked with have been lovely over the years.
Julia's a professional amateur painter of her inside of her home.
I love it. Aren't we all?
We are. You know, and I know yes. this is something that so many people spend so much time. You know, I have my paint. Yep. Swatches, that thing where it's all the colors and everything, but people spend so much time because paint can just it's such an easy transformation, I think, to a home. So tell us a little bit about, I mean, I have painting questions and so does Lori. So how do you start to even choose the right color paint for your house?
Good place to start is identifying what we call fixed assets. So if you're looking at the outside of your house, you're going to look at things that aren't changing, things like stonework, your roof color, anything that's metal. A lot of times the windows are either metal or vinyl. And those are going to be kind of starter places to look for colors that are going to stay. Then you start to branch out from that. Which colors work together with them? Anytime you're looking at a room or exterior, there's always going to be kind of one color that's the star of the show. And it gets to kind of call the shots. So you work around that and you bring in a lot of neutrals around those particular colors.
And it sounds so easy.
Yeah, right. Just like that. No problem. And it can be overwhelming, and especially when you're looking at exteriors. There's a lot that goes into it, and you're not doing it very often. So you want to make sure that you get the colors right. So we've got a lot of tools that can help people with that. And one of them is our exterior and interior in color consulting, where we actually come to your house and bring swatches and just help choose which of those colors we're going to really work with all of those fixed assets, and then we narrow it down to colors that you actually like.
You know, this makes so much sense because you think about painting the exterior home and the expense that goes into that, and if you make a mistake, right? That's a big one. So it would make so much sense to have someone come in. I know when we moved to Woodbury.
I've always just painted it the same color that it was.
There you go,
if
Lori.
I've been involved. But you know what? We have kind of not a teal, but sort of a soft... Mm-hmm. What color do you call our house? Seafoamy?
Seafoamy blue and white.
Blue green. But I mean, who knows? Casey just has brought in the paint, like chip, and they just recreate it from that.
Right.
That always amazes me. That amazes me that you guys can do that.
We actually get color readers there that can read the colors. We've had people bring in most interesting things like a pair of socks, different items of clothing just to match to, or a piece of the soffit and fascia. And as a matter of fact, we have a lot of those colors on file, like your Anderson Windows colors.
Yeah.
Those are all on file to match to as well. So, yeah, it's super helpful, especially when you're trying to put something together very specific.
I would agree. I've made so many painting mistakes and had so many painting successes. But really, you know, gray has been the thing for so long. Is gray still the hot color trend that
or
people
is it
are...
passé?
There you go.
It is yes and no. It has, it's very timeless in a sense, and we're moving away from a lot of just gray and white cold and going to more grays that are warmer. More like greiges, I think. Mm-hmm. Either greige or grays, you can say it either way you'd like, but it's a true blend between a gray and a beige. Seeing a lot more of that coming in. And then people are really warming up that gray and white space with wood, natural wood, oak, with no finish on it, just a clear finish on it. Birches, things like that, just bringing in the warmer woods to offset some of that coldness with the gray.
All right, Wendy, I have to ask you, because this obsesses me as much as like who at OPI names the nail polish colors. So you've got colors gray, cashmere, Kendall charcoal, still water, quiet moments. Who gets to do the naming of the colors?
I know. Actually, I want to be on that committee because I bet they're having a really good time when they're doing it.
Yes.
There was actually a collection years ago that wasn't really the Hirschfields where they made it as much of a joke as possible, and it was pretty funny.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if you've ever seen the Farrow and Ball line. Some of their colors are just, I'm going to just joke, inspirational. Dead salmon is super popular. Mouse is back. Wow, exactly. Where did they get the name?
No, I know. The names are great. Okay, so here is, you know, do you feel like people are still confused about when to use flat, when to use eggshell, when to use satin?
Yes, very much so. And my good rule of thumb is ceilings are usually flat. When you're trying to hide, let's say your drywall isn't perfect, a flat paint is not going to reflect as much of the light, so you're going to get away with a lot more imperfections in your drywall. So a nice white, crisp ceiling white is really popular right now, especially with some of the color trends we've been seeing over the years. A few years ago, 20 years ago, creamier whites were more in, but now it's much more of a crisp white. People think that they need to put a satin sheen on their walls because they want to be able to clean it.
Right.
But the technology is pretty amazing now. We've got a product that Hirschfield sells called Platinum Ceramic Matte that I actually use in all of my houses because it looks like a flat, but it wears like an eggshell. So you can actually clean it. And that's kind of getting the best of both worlds. Trim is usually a satin, and that actually is kind of regional specific. If you go outside the Twin Cities, it's a little bit shinier. So mm-hmm. some of our stores up in near Fargo and things, their wall colors are much more in eggshell, and their trims are more like a semi-gloss. Glass for a while was having a big moment where they were going into a room and doing every color. So when the greens really started coming in, they do all of your trim millwork of the walls and the ceiling all in a gloss. And some of the painters were having a really good time with that because, again, that gloss reflects everything and shows all of the imperfections in the substrate. So
it really does. Now, so if you want to, you know, you use neutral colors or quote unquote, whatever your main colors are in rooms that kind of flow together. But what rooms can we show color personality in without making huge mistakes?
Powder bathrooms are super fun to do. Either just a really wonderful color that you love, and don't be afraid to go dark in them. People think because of the room is small that it's going to feel really trapped and in, but your lighting will make a big difference there. And go ahead with, I've seen black powder rooms that are just stunning. I had another color I wanted to talk about on that one. Another great area to do is on front doors. Great place to showcase all the personality. Bright reds, bright greens, or even if you've got a house that has a little more color, something as stately as a navy is another really wonderful spot. And up until about a year ago, laundry rooms were really massively ornate, putting in like chandeliers and softer colors. There's a color that's very popular right now. It's kind of one of my color crushes called Boudoir by Ben Moore. Mm-hmm. And it's got a soft peachy pink to it. I saw a lot of that going into laundry rooms too. So those are places to really showcase personality. And as you mentioned, just having a flow color throughout is a major trend right now too. And it's very calming to have a flow color, meaning foyer, living room, kitchen, dining room, all of that. But then once you get into a bedroom or a bathroom, you still want colors that work with the rest of the house, but you want to have them be very specific to what's going on in those rooms. With a bathroom, it's going to be your countertops and your tile. And in a bedroom, it's going to be the feeling that you want to induce, but then also usually pulling colors right out of the bedspreads or drapes or something like that.
Oh my gosh, I love
Julia. Okay. Could talk to you all day long, to. Wendy.
I just want to say one more thing because of course we run out of time. You know, always.
Are you kidding already? I could talk forever too.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Wendy. We're talking about Hirschfields, who has been, you know, in the Twin Cities for over 100 years. How many locations are there?
There's over 30.
Oh my gosh! And when you go in there, the other big trend right now is wallpaper.
Yes. And a few of our students have huge wallpaper books to check out. And the patterns are bold. They're alive. And they're going into interesting places, too. Things like your dining room ceiling. Small little areas where you've got crown molding, like a transition hallway kind of thing up there. And also just has headboard walls. Another great spot for those bright colors. And that's another place where you can showcase your colors. I know kids always pick out the brightest color in the fan deck. And they don't change their mind. They look at it, and that's it. So So my little workaround on that is put it on the headboard wall and then go with a color called White Dove everywhere else. It's a neutral, gets along fine with everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy. And you only have one wall to repaint later.
That's the color. I've had that White Dove Benjamin Moore forever in my home. I mean, that one always works with everything. Yeah. It is so great to talk to you and hear more about, I mean, I really could talk to you all day. Thank you for being on our show, Wendy.
I've got lots of ideas and color trends, and I'm just delighted to be able to talk with you.
And it is it does make sense to have a color person come out, and if you want to, you know, you want to plan for your house, it just makes it so much easier because the mistakes are time consuming.
Yes,
they're just time.
They definitely are. Go to our website, hirschfields.com, and look under the color and inspiration site. You'll get all kinds of information on our in-person consulting, on virtual. We do it over the phone if you'd like to do it that way. We have an online digital design board we didn't even talk about where you take a picture of your home and they'll give you digital designs showing color options based on either you telling them what color you like or filling out one of the questionnaires. Really helpful information when you don't have a great idea of visualizing what it's going to look like.
Fantastic.
Interior and exterior for that.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Wendy. It was nice to meet you over the phone. Hopefully we'll meet in person someday. And that's Hirschfields. We got to go. When we come back, we've got stories and randoms about what your car says about you. We'll be right back. You know, I saw this story the other day. Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is. All right, people, let's just get at this right now. What your car says about your age.
Oh, dear.
And this is from our good friends at AARP. Okay, so how old do you think you are? And it kind of depends on the car you drive. So Buicks, 41.9% of all Buicks are sold to boomers.
I believe that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The next highest.
Because I'm not a boomer.
Oh, gotcha.
Jen Joneser.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rocco.
Just Jen Jones.
Yeah, Jen Jones.
Just
so are you, Jules.
I know.
Yeah. Gen X.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what do you think is the next boomer brand of cars?
A Cadillac?
Yep. That's one of them. 38%.
Toyota?
No.
No.
Yeah, that's a good guess. A Honda?
Lincoln.
A Lincoln, of course.
A Lincoln. Almost 40% of all Lincolns are sold to boomers. And then it goes Cadillac and then Lexus. And then out of the blue, 37% of Porsches are sold to boomers.
That's not surprising.
No, they have the money.
That's right.
Yeah, they have the money. Okay, so the next one is the Gen Xers. Their biggest percentage of
SUV.
Yeah, I know. But what kind?
A RAV or a Jeep?
No, a Land Rover. 41% of all Land Rovers are sold to Gen Xers.
Wow.
Remember when we had that deal and we were driving those and promoting those for a while?
The Land Rovers?
Yeah. Oh, I love.
Oh, you're in heaven.
I love that car.
I remember just being very nervous about driving.
You were. I loved it.
Yeah, right.
My dad got in it. What is this?
Yeah.
Like, Dad, we're working with Land Rover. And he's like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I know.
All right.
The next one for Gen Xers is Infiniti. You don't see many of those anymore. Teslas. BMWs, Porsche. And
Gen X got some money.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the millennials. Now, Rocco, are you a Gen X or a millennial?
I'm Gen X. Gen X, yeah.
Okay, so. Yeah,
Prius.
No.
No.
Volkswagens.
Oh, Volkswagen, okay.
Almost 40%
of Yaris. The Yaris.
No, this is interesting. People got money. I mean, Honda and Toyota don't even show up on this list. So millennials are Volkswagen. And then Tesla might have sponsored this, 35% of all Teslas, Dodge, you know, the Rams and all that, Mazda and Mitsubishis. There is no Toyota or Honda on this list.
Yeah, who commissioned this study?
Which seems it's based on just a random thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening with that.
Well, that's interesting.
I kind of thought so. What do you think about... Trisha Yearwood and Garth Brooks being open to a talk show.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
No.
Yeah.
I am finding, well, I think she already
has her
food
cooking
show
talk
on the
show.
Food Network.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like Kelly Clarkson is covering that corner market.
She and Michael Douglas were darling the other day on their show together.
She's so good.
She's very good.
When she sang the dance to him at the Kennedy Center Honors, which you can just YouTube. I thought that was
something else.
I just thought
No, I don't want Garth and Miss Trisha to have a talk show.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I really don't.
If that's what they want, I mean, go ahead. But I just feel like, stay in your lane, tour, make music.
I'm ready for people to stay in their lanes now.
Yeah, get out and sing, Garth. We don't need to see you talk. And I don't know that would be good for your relationship to be spending all that time planning a talk show.
Okay, listen to what's happening. you know, the new Allegiant Stadium is the new home of the NFL Raiders in Las Vegas. It has yet to be filled with fans. It opened last year during COVID, so it was fanless.
Yeah.
So Garth Brooks sold it out, and he's going to perform there July 10th. How hot and sticky will that show be in Vegas?
Pretty hot and sticky.
Uh-huh.
Bring your own mister.
That's my friend has a spray bottle mister.
We got him for Bonnaroo. Bought him in Bonnaroo. It was so hot in the farm field of Manchester, Tennessee, Rocco.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how hot it was. And yeah, there was some entrepreneurial young person selling the handheld misting fans. I mean, they had them all over the place, right. But there was something to be said. Remember that one state fair when we chapped our faces with our handheld misters?
Uh-huh, because we
chapped our faces.
We did.
Rocco, we had chapped face.
From a handheld mister?
Because it was like 5 days in a row of like 90 plus.
No one even came to the fair.
No.
It was our old location.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I found in our photos when we were cleaning out some of our double wide, which we had an attention span of a B because we did it for 5 minutes and it moved on. Photos from our very first year at the state fair when we were in the gazebo.
That's summer of 2003.
Uh-huh.
People were so mad that we were in a gazebo.
We let people come in and sit in there with us, remember? I thought that was kind of funny. All right, we really aren't getting to the randoms today, but that's all I got for you. All right. We'll be back.
Oh, BTS. Sounds good. Sounds so good. Okay, so Real Housewives of New York came back last night for like whatever the fourth episode, but I thought it was first of all, how long are they going to milk the Hamptons trip?
Well, they have to.
I mean,
first of all, she does have a nice house.
Yeah, this was all filmed during COVID and Roni, but I mean, you had felt along with Jason that the joy had been taken out of the Real Housewives of New York this season, but and there has been other chatter. You two are not alone in that this season isn't the best, but I, Julia, have faith and I keep on trucking. And I thought last night's episode
was better. I'm not going to pretty good.
Okay, you're not going to
say. Because Watch What Happened Live was pretty good.
The show was better because we got teased with the fact there is going to be, and Marco, we know you don't watch the show.
But you might enjoy this.
Anytime you go to a party where the theme is 1970s pageant talent, that's the thing. So one of them is going to do
hula hooping
and one of them's going to do push-ups in a gown. I don't know. I can't wait to see this train wreck.
It
seemed like a funny idea for like a way to entertain yourself during
the
COVID
pandemic, when there's nothing else to do and you have to film a TV show that's supposed to be fun.
And they're kind of had glam and makeup and everything and doing their kind of, so I'm looking forward to that for next week. And just as we predicted last year when we were loving Leah McSweeney on The Real Housewives of New York as a person. And I said, oh, but she's coming up on her second season. And that's
the sophomore season. They
get you.
They're producing to make you look horrible.
And maybe you're helping them look horrible because you are being horrible. And last night, Leah showed
just all of her sharp edges.
Yeah, she got into such a dumb fight with Heather Thompson, all because her grandmother is dying, which she knew coming on this trip, and she's shoved everybody's faces in it, like blaming all of her girlfriends on this trip. My grandmother is dying, that's why I'm being a bitch.
Then leave
or don't come on the trip. That was kind of like...
She just is...
She was very, very exhausting.
I liked Heather Thompson, and I don't like her. I kind of liked her last night. I thought she was a voice of reason, and the Countess.
But when she understands black families because she worked for Puffy, no.
Again, well, I think the thing about it was, you know, there are conversations that people have been having this year.
It's been good. And Heather was a way to be very matter-of-fact about some of the stuff, even if she is, I think, a little... You know,
what she said was true. It's uncomfortable having these conversations, but they're important to have, and everyone has to have them. It's just where we're at. And I thought that was really real.
I love Ebony. I absolutely adore Ebony. She is bringing us class. She is bringing us love. She's bringing us amazing eyeshadow, and she's giving us great practicality.
The eyeshadows. Okay, because the midnight blue eyeshadow she was wearing, but the one I loved was that, I want you to do that smoky eye on me. I mean, you must have to have eyes to have it done. So that's why it won't work. But her look for the talent show with that
gold
smoky
in the middle on the side of her eye.
Gosh.
Anyway, I think she's really,
she is refreshing.
A breath of fresh air on that show.
Ramona, I still really can't stand.
Can't stand her. They need to walk her out on the road and say goodbye.
And just leave her?
She's just completely clueless. Well, let's listen to... So Andy Cohen had...
Casey Wilson
on, and she's... Did you either of you guys watch Happy Endings? Rocco, no. Did you watch that show? Nah, I didn't either, but she was on that show. And then also Ebony was in the clubhouse, and she's a huge Bravo fan, big housewife fan, longtime fan. Anyway, so I think, what do we have up first? Her hot takes? Okay, her hot takes on three different housewives.
Casey, you are known for happy endings, but we're about to end the show with some hot takes that may make some viewers unhappy. It's time for That's My Unpopular Opinion. Casey's going to share three of her strongest stances about the housewives that may force you to stand alone. What's your first one, Casey?
Okay, my first one is that, with all due respect to Sonia, you know she is like my top two favorite housewives. I don't think it's talked enough, or we don't discuss enough the fact that she was only married to Mr. Morgan for 6 years. The way she's behaving, it's 50. And I heard we're only to mourn things for like half the length of time of a marriage, which would put us at 3, but I feel we're actually doing it about 6 times that. And again, I am sensitive and I mourn things too, but I just want her to try to move on. And I don't know that the crystal healer is the only person we should have on our bench in terms of moving forward.
Okay.
And I do bank it Wells Fargo.
I'm on the bench. I'm on the bench, Casey. Keep watching.
I'm on the bench.
And she's totally right about Sonia. I mean, she was only married to that Morgan guy for 6 damn years.
And it feels like it is just her being her. It's everything.
It's everything.
Like, and she can't let it go and she can't move on and she's stuck.
And we have heard that you are like, if you were married for, you know, like...
You get to mourn half of it.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. But I mean, she does. So that was a good hot take from Casey Rose Wilson. Go ahead with the next one.
Number two.
I'm ready for Kyle and Erica Jane. I'm sorry, not Kyle. I made a huge mistake. I'm ready for Lisa Rinna and Erica to possibly ease on down the road a piece. Mm. Because I just feel like for Lisa, she's really not sharing herself. It's really weird. I find her to be very kind of like practiced in stirring things up, but then not letting us into her life. I'd like to know more about Scott Disick and her daughter, and I don't feel like I'm getting that.
You are going to. You are going to get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
These are hot takes. I didn't say I was
right. Yeah, no, that's okay. No, that's good. We love them. Okay, number three.
God, I'm trying to remember my third one, honestly. okay, I'm going to say that I don't think this is a hot take, but I'm ready for the murder mysteries to come to a close.
I am too. The murder mystery dinners, I am too. Trust me, I'm very upset about them.
What show is that on?
They were just, that's as a party, as a theme on different housewife shows.
That is so 25 years ago.
But
remember when Casey brought tickets and you, wait a second, tell Rocco this one. No. Rocco,
we learned a lesson about each other because we didn't know each other that long.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an anniversary, maybe the first year of our marriage.
I feel like it was.
And a firefighter had gone with his wife to this
somewhere like Minnesota.
Spicer, Minnesota.
Oh, Spicer.
Do some kind of a bed and breakfast that did a murder mystery dinner overnight. And you got assigned a character ahead of time. And Gacy, he looked like a leprechaun / yodeler because I was like some aging actress, yes. You know, from a anyway, it was an absolute, we both absolutely hated it. And I said to him the next day, I said, I just want you to know, I'm not a B&B person. I don't like staying in houses with other, I did that in hostels when I was, you know,
17,
19, mm-hmm. But I don't like that. And I don't want to act at a dinner party with strangers and try to figure out, we don't ever do anything like this for me again. All theater presents are off the table. And he's like,
so stressed out before you went.
I'm so glad. He was just trying to be clever and creative.
100%.
And you know, I think people had fun. I just absolutely.
Hate acting anyway.
Yeah, no, that 24 hours or whatever felt like it was 24 years.
I remember how stressed you were before. I'm an aging actress. How should I talk? Philip, get me the lighter. The famous line from some movie.
I know.
So
far. Let's get one more funny hot take from Casey Rose. And she didn't get a say about like Erica Jane. I mean, Erica just needs to go because she's given us nothing except her bitchy resting face. Yeah. So here's Casey's next take.
In Beverly Hills, from sharing childhood dental work stories to sipping energy drinks at 1 a.m., favorite Kathy Hilton moment so far, and I understand you have an impression.
I do. My favorite moment is when Kathy, who is a queen, she's an icon, she is the moment, to quote Wendy Williams, when she said, I thought you were Kyle. I thought you were Kyle. I love Kathy. Where has she been? And I have a question for you, and I hate to be rude, Andy, but we've had to suffer through Teddy when we had Kathy all along. We had Kathy. She was just sitting right in front of us.
You know what? You have to climb the mountain to ski down it, my friend.
What?
You're right.
I didn't know get what that reference at all.
Because we did suffer through Teddy. Teddy was horrible.
I love that she said that.
I couldn't stand it. Kathy Hilton all along. No wonder they've been trying to get her. Pandemic. She doesn't care.
She doesn't care at all.
But she did when she can't ever see. She must not wear her. But when she said to Garcelle, I thought you were Kyle.
Because she just had dark hair. That's all she said.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the continuation of the talent show. I don't really care what happens with Leah's hissy fit. No. I think she probably feels like just a big a-hole about how much she brought up. Like, don't go on a girl's weekend.
When trauma is happening in your family. That is just 101.
Yeah, that like Leah is 40 years old. I feel like you learn.
Even if you're filming and you're supposed to do it, you can say, my grandma's dying.
Right, right. So anyway, I'm looking forward to the 70s talent show.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's an idea for Project Down and Dirty. What about that, Rocco? A 70s talent show.
Like you're in a pageant and everyone has to do their talent.
I think that'd be funny.
That sounds terrifying, too. Oh, I don't have a talent.
Either do I. But remember Sandra Bullock, what she did in
Miss Confidential.
With the tops, you know, making the wine glasses sing.
Right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right.
We could find, like, I don't know. I mean, one of them is doing hula hooping.
And mime. Sonia is doing a mime. How about how her makeup and everything, it looked like her lips had been in one of those sucking machines.
I felt like, I thought that she had a facelift last year.
She did.
And yet her looks keep morphing.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll stay tuned. We'll keep watching.
Unfortunately.
Get over Mr. Morgan. Oh, it was only 6 years of marriage. All right, listen, when we come back, we're going to Hollywood speak a musician and a supermodel.
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood!
Is the meaning of this?
Right. I just came across this, and Lori,
mm-hmm.
There's a picture of three generations of women, grandma, mom, daughter, and they're all wearing like sauna looking gowns, and they're all on their knees. Okay. And the title of it is Jada Pinkett Smith and her mom and daughter all got their vaginas steamed for a red table talk. Desperate?
No one's watching Red Table Talk. They haven't had anyone that's needed. Why don't they have Chris Harrison on?
Well, there you go.
That'd be a good one.
And here's what
they're
saying.
That'd be much better than steaming their clams.
Jada was the most excited. She was making all sorts of funny faces. And they sat on their throne, which is a bowl with all these herbs and spices and steaming things
not
in it.
Not recommended by anybody.
I know. It's a plastic bowl that looks like you're sitting on a bedpan, not a deadpan.
We have a self-cleaning oven biscuit.
Okay.
Nothing needs to be steamed up into your flour. This is just...
Apparently, you were supposed to...
I don't know why these ladies are thirsty. I feel like their table talk is good when they have it, but this doesn't seem like good table talk.
She said she felt a little tingle.
Yeah. What are they getting paid by Gwyneth for this?
Yeah,
I don't like
it
at all.
I just thought, oh gosh.
Okay. What do you make of this? You know, the rumor started, we heard about it from Dumois.
Yes.
You know, the Instagram.
Yes, we did.
Blind item. And, here we go. TMZ is reporting that Kanye West and Arena Shake are definitely a thing. And the Daily Mail has photos of them walking around a vineyard in Provence yesterday on his birthday.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Run, Arena. That might be my first
thing. The quote is they're quote unquote into each other. This is a hookup great for gossip.
This is a hookup great for gossip. I would agree, Lori. And so they met though. So I was trying to figure out. Because we've been heard.
She modeled in a Yeezy show.
No, she was. She played an angel in his 2010 music video for the song Power.
Got it.
So
that's how
he had picked her to be an angel.
Wow.
11 years ago.
I mean, the fact that he's dating a brand name supermodel is perfect for his ego and his self narrative.
I would agree.
What I am wondering about is
what's wrong with her?
How does Kim feel and how does Bradley Cooper feel? If I were Kim, and I'm not Kim, but if my husband and I decided to divorce and like his next romance was with a bleeping supermodel, and you know that Kim and her sisters, that's all they ever do is model. They are their own models.
Okay. model.
I mean, maybe it means I'm petty and unproductive, but yes, I guess I am. I would be, that would kind of hurt
sting.
Me. This would sting.
Because she's tall and skinny, and I have to work
she's the exact
so hard
opposite
of Kim, my body type.
That's right. And Kim did all that extra fluffing of her arse because Kanye wanted a big juicy booty.
And wore all those beige bland colors for 10 years.
And now here Arena is, you know, just... anyway, what's the storytelling going to be? I'm very curious.
And what would you think if you were Bradley Cooper? Which, by the way, wasn't that surprising when he introduced Garth Brooks at the Kennedy Center Honors.
I was so busy looking at his terrible hair. I was like, what movie is that for?
Are we the same person? Because I know when we watch these things, we think the exact same thoughts.
Yeah, I think Bradley, there's nothing there for these two have been broken up for a long time.
And they parent together. They both live in New York City.
Yeah, but they've been broken up a long time. Yesterday was his birthday. Kim, I love you for life. Chloe, my brother-in-law for life. Are they all sucking up to him right now? They don't need to. He's got a girlfriend. He should be happy. This is the best possible thing when you're getting divorced. And if someone's being a problem, you pray and hope they get a partner right away.
There you go.
You know?
Done and done.
Chloe reached a settlement with the designer accused her of ripping off her Good American brand, her bedazzled designs. So a confidential agreement has been reached.
You know, I like those jeans. They're like Spanx jeans. They're like Spanx.
You've alternately liked and complained about those.
I like
jeans.
Them both ways. When I'm feeling a little thinner, they fit a little better.
Yeah.
And when I'm feeling a little fuller, I feel like they're a little tighter.
Well, she got sued for $10 million.
She did.
Yes, she did. They felt they had very good proof. So they've signed an agreement. And
all right.
What do you think? What would you make something like this go away? Settle for?
A million. 2 million. 2 million. You know, just two.
All right.
How about the never?
How about the never-ending royal baby name drama for our little Lilibet Lily Diana Mountbatten Windsor? Can you believe the stories that are coming out? That you the tabloids in the UK are treating this like national security, and now Harry and Meghan might have to sue the BBC for defamation because they had a guy, a correspondent, report on the BBC that the Queen had not been consulted about the name Lilibet. And Harry is not putting up with that nonsense. They have written to the BBC saying what you're claiming is false and defamatory, and we will sue.
Wow.
I mean, why are they being harassed over their baby name?
Because they're going to be harassed over everything because they broke the mold.
But it's weird that the royal aides are entertaining this mess, that Queen Elizabeth's people came out and said that she did it. Why are people within the palace stirring things up? How does this serve the monarchy?
I don't know, Laura.
And the British journalist who tweeted about that Harry and Meghan should have named the baby Georgina Floydina, and then she doubled down when she called the baby It as a nod to non-binary bollocks, and that the baby's first words would be free Palestine.
What are you talking about?
This UK columnist. Yeah. Oh, she got fired. She got let go.
Well, and rightly, what a bunch of racist.
Can you believe that? Omid Scobie says, yes, she was fired following her racist tweets about the Sussex's daughter and refusal to apologize.
Okay, that's just...
I mean, it's really unbelievable to me that the baby is being attacked and the baby isn't even a week old. And it's like stuff is coming from the palace and that Harry and Meghan, like that the BBC is going on and reporting that the Queen never talked to them when the Queen did. She must really be going crazy. All right, there's a race to get to space. Now Richard Branson is trying to beat Jeff Bezos.
I see him into in his space. Little moon outfit.
Oh, yes. Boy, everyone wants to make the final frontier be the big race for the billionaires.
I hope they take a lot of them with them.
Yeah. How about that report that the billionaires paying 2% tax?
I know.
Did that make you guys mad?
Mm-hmm.
Rocco? A little bit mad that you're paying a higher
tax rate? They pay $1.06 on $100 and we pay, or something, and we pay $1.60, $160. I mean, something outrageous. We've always known.
Yes, I know, but having that, like having it like just 3% federal income tax.
Slap you in the face.
When I was a college student, I paid more than that. Anyway, so Virgin Galactic is trying to get up in the air July 4th before Jeff Bezos. Is this petty billionaire just BS that we don't even need to pay attention to?
Basically.
Okay.
It's something.
Yeah. Why do they want to get into space so badly, these billionaires? Are they going to put their cash up on a planet?
I don't know. People just used to put their money in the Virgin Islands.
Stay tuned for the Jupiter records.
We'll be right back. You're listening to My Talk.